From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now. Coming up, what lessons should the media take away from the coverage of the Boston Marathon bombings a year ago?
But first, officials today are officially confirming what many already think, that Sunday's shootings at two Jewish centers that killed three in Overland Park, Kansas, are hate crimes. FBI agent Michael Kass spoke today at a press conference.
In the last 22 hours, we've learned that the acts that this person committed were the result of beliefs that he had, and that he was trying to hurt somebody based on their ethnicity, race, religion. There's a whole number of categories under a hate crime.
A 14-year-old who was auditioning for a singing competition and his grandfather were killed. Both are reportedly Methodists. A woman visiting her mother at a nearby Jewish assisted living facility, a Catholic, was also killed. But the shooting suspect, Frazier Glenn Cross Jr., who also goes by the aliases of Glenn Miller or Frazier Glenn Miller, is a known anti-Semite. KMBC, a CNN affiliate, captured video of Cross being taken away by police and shouting, "Heil Hitler." Listen closely. You can hear it on this brief clip. Mark Potok is with the Southern Poverty Law Center. They study hate crimes. And Mark, today the FBI said they were aware of the alleged shooter. They weren't monitoring him closely. But do I hear correctly that you knew as soon as you heard this story that it might be him?
Well, as soon as a suspect was named, they gave this name Frazier Glenn Cross. We knew Frazier Glenn Miller. But we very quickly remembered that Miller had in fact been using the Cross name online in a number of different postings.
Well, tell us a
little bit. In the next hour or so, we were able to get his date of birth, the suspect's date of birth, and confirm that indeed it was him.
And he has a long resume with you. He was a Green Beret who started in the National States Rights Party, then founded and ran Carolina Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, sort of an offshoot of the Ku Klux Klan, more of a paramilitary. And your group actually sued him.
We sued him. He agreed to disband his first group, the Carolina Knights. He then reformed another group, White Patriot Party, which was quite separate. Ultimately, we were able to get a criminal contempt citation for his breaking the agreement with us to cease his paramilitary activities and so on. At that point, he went on the lam. He became a fugitive. When he was discovered less than a year later in Missouri by the FBI, they found him in a trailer filled with C4 plastic explosive, thousands of rounds of ammunition, automatic weapons, hand grenades, and a whole lot of cash as well. He was at that time, it turns out, plotting, among other things, to assassinate the founder of the Southern Poverty Law Center, Morris Dees.
Yeah.
And ultimately, he went to prison over all of that.
3 years in federal prison on weapons charges and that charge of plotting the assassination of the founder of your group. But he also ran for office. He's been a guest on Howard Stern. He has a website. What has he been doing in recent years? It seems impossible that somebody with that resume would still be floating around. But, of course, if he hadn't done any act, he would be.
Well, in fact, he probably would have gone to prison for a long time in the late 80s, except that he cut a deal with the federal government to testify against other white supremacists in a famous trial. So for the 90s, he was pretty much persona non grata in the movement, but he's been, over the last 10 or 15 years, working his way back in. He wrote an autobiography about being a kind of oppressed white man. He published a newspaper called The Aryan Alternative and has kind of, as I say, worked his way back into the graces of the movement. So he's been active, but it's been all on a propaganda level, certainly as far as we know.
Well, so now this shooting, Mark Potok, at this two Jewish centers in Overland Park, Kansas, outside Kansas City. All three of the victims were Christian. A lot of people are seeing that as ironic that this man obviously lives in a world where he thinks that these community group centers would be segregated. They are not. He was reportedly asking people if they were Jewish. As he shot. But first of all, how important is this that officials have decided this is a hate crime?
Well, I think it was completely obvious, as you suggested in your intro.
What does it mean legally?
Well, legally, it may not really amount to a hill of beans. And I say that because he is up on charges that could bring him the death penalty in the state. The federal government is apparently considering federal hate crime charges as well. But there's nothing in the federal hate crime law that brings the death penalty. So it may be a matter of simply wanting to show the world that this is a hate crime and have that play out in court. if, in fact, the federal government really does go ahead with these charges.
But briefly, Mark, what does the event mean to you? We're seeing that anti-Semitic hate crimes are actually down. Is this a last gasp? What does it say to you?
Well, I wouldn't say it exactly that way. I mean, what this really tells us, it's a reminder that there is an entire universe, a kind of underworld of people like Fraser Glenn Miller. There are over 2,000 groups in the radical right that operate today in the United States. Certainly most of the people in those groups are not going to go shoot up a Jewish community center, but this is a movement that produces a lot of people. We only need to think back to the shooting of the Holocaust Museum in 2009, the shooting up of the Sikh temple near Milwaukee in 2012, and so on. Another case around the same time.
It is rare but not unheard of. Mark Potok, Southern Poverty Law Center. As always, Mark, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.